Father, bless now this time together, the impact of your word and where we're going and what you've called us to do. We praise you, Father, that there's not any service that we have that is less than or insignificant, but every one of them, if we adhere to, if we listen, for those that are here and those that are watching, every part of it is scripted by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of going forward, fulfilling the call that you've called us to. We glorify you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to continue with a subject that we had last week. And that is, the title was The War-Hardened Soldier. And this is lesson two. But this is going to go into the how-tos of some of the academics of spiritual, what we would call some spiritual warfare or spiritual directives. I want to go over some of last week in lesson one. And then we're going to also have a handout that we're going to give you that we're going to read through here in just a few moments. Last week we went over for just a little bit about what is true spiritual warfare. And we talked about what the seasoned soldier was, a seasoned or a war-hardened soldier. We read this scriptures to you out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, some of these scriptures as we give tonight, you can turn there if you'd like, but you don't have to. I'll tell you when it's really important for you to turn there. You can listen. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Everybody say, endure hardness. I think that's the key to what we're talking about tonight and last week, was enduring hardness will make you a seasoned soldier. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a good," or to be a soldier. I was wanting to put "good" in there myself, but I think it's understood, a good soldier. Paul said, "Fight the good warfare." There's a lot of Christians are in a warfare, but they're not fighting a good warfare. They're just weak, mealy-mouthed. You can tell just by their face, by their disposition. Now, if you're in pain, I can understand that. If you're suffering, I can understand that. But the disposition of so many Christians is not a strong warfare. We're always going to be in a war. You can just know that. But the war doesn't have to be a war that is draining on you. It doesn't have to be pulling on you. It actually can be. It can be. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, I believe, down in that area. 2 Corinthians 11 is where he talked about all of everything that was happening to him, Paul. And then chapter 12, he talks about when I am weak, then I am strong. Somebody says, "Oh, don't say that you're weak." Well, no, I'm not saying that you're ever weak, as in that's your position. But you're going to find that when you run into your flesh up against the devil and up against the world and up against the whole, the flesh is weak. All your fasting is not meant to strengthen the flesh. Your fasting is meant to kill the flesh. If you think you're going to work your flesh out and get it stronger, that's not the objective. Fasting, praying in tongues, and meditation of the word is not to get your flesh is always going to be weak. That is the disposition of the flesh. You're not fasting to get the flesh stronger. You're fasting to kill the flesh. That's the only thing to do with the flesh is kill it. So you're going to, Paul ran into the flesh in his sufferings a lot. What does that mean? I think he wanted to quit sometimes. I think a lot of times after you get a beating, you probably, your flesh wants to quit. I think your flesh wants to say, you know, this is enough. You know, after umpteen dozen beatings and umpteen dozen sufferings and umpteen dozen this, that, and the other, necessity after necessity, maybe it was a daily thing that he had to make a decision. I'm going to go up this mountain one more time. And the flesh says, no, you're going to just quit, sit and sob and die. And he had to make a decision. No, I'm going to. So weakness of the flesh is always there. You can't strengthen the flesh. You have to kill the flesh. And when he said, my grace, the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient. Then Paul, he copped an attitude in a good way and said, well, then if that's the case, if his grace is sufficient for every day, every time, when I meet the flesh, when I am weak, then I am strong. I'll revert immediately. It's like something kicks in. As soon as I meet the weakness of the flesh, then I'll identify with the strength of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's what we have to know, is that we have to war a good warfare and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's the seasoned soldier. That's the one that can duplicate themselves. Now, there's a lot of Christians that try to duplicate themselves, and I feel very sorry for their understudies. Because if you've got a glitch in you, and all of us are dealing with something, but if you've got a real glitch, if you're a person that doesn't come to church, doesn't give to God, I mean, I know people give to God based on, we never talk about amounts. Some of you are on just minimal things. But you give your heart, and you give when you hear from God. If you're not a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ, finances to me is the least of all of it. You guys know that. But if you're not a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ, we heard on Sunday nights a gasp in our own hearts. Gary Carpenter brought that subject up again about fasting. We'll hear it again tonight. That wasn't intentional, but when he was talking about, he brought up those scriptures that Jesus said, when I am gone, my disciples will fast. He said this, Gary said it, so if you want to throw stones at Gary. I'm just repeating it, but I believe it every bit. He said, if you're not a faster, you're not a true disciple. He said, you may be on your way to becoming a true disciple. That doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. But if you don't fast, Jesus said, when I'm gone, my disciples, my disciplined followers, that will be their lifestyle. They'll partake of that. They'll do that. And so when Paul is talking to Timothy here, and he's saying there has to be a duplication, in other words, the harvest that we are preparing to receive, this is our desire, is to have, we know that you won't be perfect, as in perfection of things that still need to be growing in Christ. But the glitches, let's say it this way, the glitches that can harm somebody, hurt somebody, or your habits of how you serve the Lord, we want to pair you up. We want to pair you up. My cell phone is paired in a lot of different places. It's paired in my car. You know, I can Bluetooth. I can talk going down the road. It's paired with my earphones that I run with. It's paired with another speaker that I have. Anytime that I rent a car and I get in that car and I'm going to drive someplace, the first thing I do before I drive out of the rental department is pair my phone so that my phone is paired with that Bluetooth. What we want to do in the future, and everything that we're teaching is, and you out there, we want to be able to pair you with the incoming of those that need to be discipled, and you need to show them what a strong warrior of Christ looks like. Otherwise, if we pair them with a glitch, a person to have glitch, well, what's a glitch? A glitch is a temporary malfunction, and sometimes it's not that harmful, but some glitches can kill you. Some glitches can kill you. So our desire is for you to continue to grow so that we can pair you up with anybody. Well, pair me up with the good ones, Pastor. No, we're going to pair you up with the mean ones and the ones that really need Christ. Well, I'm just going to sit and pray. What about that? Well, that's good, but we need all hands on deck. Hallelujah. We're going to need all hands on deck. Hallelujah. So some of this I'm just listening, hearing. Let me just go through some more of it. There are two types of soldiers in the military. It's the first group we mentioned last week, and I'm not giving an exhausted military. I'm not even qualified to do that. I'm not even trying to do that. But I'm just telling you from the perspective of what I'm teaching here is that the first group are the ones that are trained through a military school or boot camp or both, of course. If you're going through a military school, you have to go through all of it, pretty much everything they go through with a boot camp, yet they've not experienced war. I said last week, I'll say again, and I'm talking about spiritual things here, especially as people come in, and even as you're growing, don't pair yourself. If you come off the boat, you come off the plane, you come off the place of arrival, and there's a full-blown war there, people are dying, you're seeing people brought in on gurneys, and they're dead. Now I'm speaking naturally. And you've got a 6-month tenure or a 12-month tenure there. You're gonna have to stay there, and everybody, you know, you're just watching dead people come by. You want to figure out real quick how you survive, and you want to figure out you want to look around and say, okay, how long have you been here? Well, I just got here. I don't need to talk to you. How long have you been here? 3 weeks. I don't need to talk to you. Has anybody been here a full year and survived? Me, can I become your buddy? The ones that have become war-hardened, in other words, taken this, went through sickness, and just said, you know, I'm not going to quit. The word says. Those that have gone through emotional battles, quit. Those that have been offended at the pastor and said, I'm not going to quit. Those that have found the word and found that it's not mental toughness, but it goes into mental toughness. Spiritual toughness will make you mentally tough. Spiritual tough will make you, that's what discipline of fasting does. Fasting will cause the discipline that comes from your spirit to interpret itself out into your soul, so that you're able to discipline your mind. And no, I'm not gonna think that. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna, you know, it'd feel good to do that. Feel good to go cuss them out, but I'm not gonna do that. Feel good to say something to them on Facebook, but I'm not gonna do that. Robert sent me something today. I was looking at it, and he said, good thing you don't have Facebook, Pastor. He said, this is what you'd have to put up with all the time. I looked at it, and I sent him back. I said, oh, you know what? Because it was supposedly be from another Christian. I said, this the reason why I don't have Facebook. I don't know how I said it. This is the reason why I don't have Facebook. And it also, if I had Facebook, it would cause me to have to fast more than I already do. So I'm eliminating some of my fasting by not even having it, because otherwise I'd get on there and tell them just how crazy they are. And Pastor, you just need to grow some. That's why I don't have Facebook, okay? I eliminate myself from temptations of the flesh. Hallelujah. So otherwise I don't have to say, I'm saving myself from saying a lot of I'm sorries. Because I'd have to say a lot of I'm sorrys. Maybe. I don't know. So anyway, there are two types of soldiers. But the group that Paul was talking about was those that have trained and also those that have applied. The training is your meditation in the Word. The training is in your prayer. But when you meet the devil head on, when sickness comes, when poverty comes, when depression comes, when fear comes, and then you exact the word, in other words, you do the word, and you keep speaking it, well, I'm mad, that doesn't matter. I'm unhappy about having to give up one. Listen, we've said this before, and this isn't in my notes in front of me, but you know, here's the thing. You're going to have to show me in the Word of God where God just wants you happy at any expense. If your happiness lines up with his obedience in your life, you're good to go. He's happy with that. But if you're sad because you have to be obedient, that's why Peter said, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Well, suffering means I'm not happy about the moment. But you know what, Pastor? I'm just stewing over what they said. Well, stop your stewing, okay? You've been mad long enough. Go to the Word, quote the Word, stand on the Word, forgive them, and just keep going. And then the war-hardened soldier does that enough times, they can see stuff coming down the pike before it ever gets to them. They can see it, and they just know, that shot was just an arrow shot at me. Hallelujah. So we're going to get to some new stuff here in a little bit, but I think all that stuff's good, don't you? It's good to remind us. Jesus said that it wasn't not only the man who heard the word, but it was the man that did the word, that built his house on a rock. And Bronx Amplified Version was, therefore, whatever soldier receives and trains with my instructions in boot camp and then goes on to use that training in the field of battle, I would liken him to a hardened soldier who not only knows the field manual, but uses it in real life battles. Okay, so he's telling me we've got to go on here to some of this stuff for tonight. So when I get orders from headquarters, I move on. Amen. So that was some really good stuff last week. Let's pass out another one of the face-to-face communion documents. And I will give this to these two handsome gentlemen. And I will find mine in front of me. And this one's not real long, so we'll have a chance to read it together. I want you to follow along with me. By the way, those of you that are watching and you would like to follow along with us, it won't take you a couple seconds, I should say. If you go to garycarpenter.org, and if you go look at the face page, you will see face-to-face teachings document. It's right in the middle, I think. Press that, and it will come up. And this is lesson 16, or document 16. Go over to HTML and press that, and this document will come up. We're going to read it together. I will read. You can follow along, and I'll do a little exhorting because I believe this is one of the things that is important for us to train for where we're going as spiritual soldiers. Look at this. For there was nothing... Oh, let me stop for just a moment. Remember a few weeks ago we did the scourging post, the whipping post, the scourging post. And so I know you can't remember all that, but we've already read that document. So this is one of the ones that are just a couple down the line. But it's as you are, you understand about what Jesus, as you are as far as foundation, you understand what Jesus paid in his scourging, okay? So we don't have to go back over that again. But let's begin again. For there was nothing in the nature of Christ that needed purging through suffering in the flesh. He did not choose to remain at the scourging post for that purpose. Satan had nothing in him, says the Spirit of grace. Does everybody understand that statement? Jesus didn't get whipped for himself, okay? He remained at the scourging post because it was the will of the Father that his body be broken for the healing of the divisions and strifes of men. In substitution, he bore their brokenness in his body at the scourging post, that through the blood shed, there all men could be healed and made one again by the Spirit of the living God, as the very life of God is recreated in them. I say again, it was not to be purged that he remained at the scourging post. No, it was his nature and his character in full manifestation to the degree that he remained to suffer in the flesh because it was the will of the Father. It was a portion of the Father's plan for his life. His nature and his character were such that suffering in the flesh could not deter him from obeying the will of the Father. That life, that nature, that character in him caused him to be obedient even unto death, even unto the death of the cross. Knowing and understanding and understand that the purpose of you embracing the scourging post is twofold. Now, I really want you to take notice of this. Underline this or keep this close in your thoughts. The scourging post that for us, to embrace, it's of twofold purpose, of course, is what he's saying. He says, of secondary importance is the purging of those things which you would call sins of the flesh. Of primary importance is the development of the nature and character of Christ within you, that his life come forward to full harvest, that you be willing to suffer in the flesh, if needs be, that the will of the Father be accomplished in the earth. Amen. Well, I'm going to stop right there just for a moment and just kind of consider that, because that's vitally important. The Holy Spirit was saying the scourging post when the Lord deals with us, and the way that that document ended a few weeks ago was one of the practical ways that you enter into the scourging post is through fasting and through prayer. He says from the beginning here that the Lord received that on himself, not because there was something in him that had to be purged, but he did it for us, that all the schisms, the divisions, and all of the breakdowns of mankind could come under that. We could have faith in what he did, substitutionary faith. But now that we come under not a physical scourging, but a Holy Ghost scourging, where the Holy Ghost deals with our hearts when we are in times of prayer and in fasting, secondarily, he says, he names the secondarily part of it first and says that secondarily is that what we would commonly call the sins of the flesh be purged from us. That's usually what we think is the most important. Well, why are you fasting? Well, get all the ugliness out. You know, that's good. But as he goes on to say here, the primary reason for fasting is to be formed into the image of Christ that's already in you. In other words, you can't strengthen the flesh, you have to kill it, but you can also bring it under a subjection, as we are taught. Proverbs teaches us that we can wean this child or bring this child under a subservient kind of subjection to say, okay, I'll listen to you, Spirit. I love Christ, and that's your predisposition. You're predisposed, living a life, fighting. There comes a point where the major, you know, things that are really the taboos or the bad things should be few and far between. But the life of Christ, just learning to become molded into his image, to where that the desires that he has transitions to our desires, that we love him more than anything else. And that we're willing to then, you know, the happiest point in your life is when you begin to start fasting. I'm not saying I've arrived there, but when you start fasting for others. Well, you can't fast for others, Pastor. Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about you can't cause their flesh to die, but I'm talking about that things that they need that they're not yet able to get, you're going to go to the Father, and anything that's inside of you that has been like, you're not trying to win it over through merit, but anything of the flesh that is debating whether this is possible, we know that fasting will kill the unbelief. And when you start fasting for others that are sick, for others that are under emotional difficulties, the greatest joys of your life is when you transpose into what he was there for others, when you're able to enter into his life and say, Lord, there's enough of me that's dead. It's not this dying is not so much right now for me. This dying is for others. I want to die that I can have your glory flow through me to those that need life. It's the first John asking life. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's where we're headed. That's what our desire is. By reason of use, by practice, by experience, the nature and character of Christ is brought forward in stages to become progressively more powerful to overcome all that is not the will of the Father in your life. Hear the wisdom of God. Of course, this he's talking about, as far as we're concerned here, our subject title, Seasoned Soldiers or Hardened Soldiers. Proverbs 20:30 says, the blueness of a wound cleanses away the evil, so do the stripes of the inward parts of the belly. In Solomon's day, that's the man that wrote this, the blueness of the wounds and the stripes for penalties were intended to teach through the flesh that the way of the transgressor is hard. Penalty suffered in the flesh restrained their flesh that they learn not to transgress from the word of commandment. In your age, the intention and the purpose of the Father is to bring forth the nature and the character of Christ, which has been sown as a seed in your hearts unto full harvest. His life is to come to overcoming stature within you, to put down all rebellion which remains in the body received from Adam. Remember that I enforce positional truth, says the Spirit of grace. The Father has given you the positional truth of the death of the body of Adam. He has given you the positional truth of the life of Christ within you. As you draw upon that life to overcome the flesh, understand you are not alone. I have come to bring forth His life in you, that you be transformed from glory to glory into the same image, that you have the same heart, the same mind, the same will of Him who precedes you to obey the Father regardless of suffering in the flesh. I have come to help you by bringing forth that new nature within you. All things are possible to that life. It is His life within you that I baptize with dominion to put down all rebellion received from Him who transgressed. Hallelujah. Those who serve other gods and those who serve themselves only strengthen the fallen nature within them through discipline of the body, through strong discipline by the will and the energy of fallen man. They strengthen the rebellion of fallen man. Many such have been the mighty tyrants upon the earth that have inflicted much harm, much suffering, and much death upon man. Of such was Saul of Tarsus before he met the Lord, whose strong will and harsh discipline of body brought forth the nature of him who destroys. He persecuted the church of God and destroyed it. It is not so among those who have received the life of Christ within them. As they draw upon that life and turn to me to bring forth that life within them, I enforce the life of the righteous one within their spirits and cause it to come forth to full harvest, that they become overcomers in this age. This is the primary purpose, son, that the instruction has come from the mind of Christ for you to embrace the scourging post. It is the nature of Christ and the character of Christ that I bring forward in you, that your heart be knit together with Him, that your will and your mind become one with the living Christ. That will is, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. Father, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. The nature of Christ within you desires the Father's will to be done on earth, even if it means suffering in the flesh, even if it means obedience to death of the cross. That is the nature, that is the character that I am bringing forward. Thank you that the Son felt not the pain of every stripe. Thank you that the ache of agony coursed not through His body with every lash. Thank you that He suffered not the pain of penalty for every man's transgression, as His flesh was ripped open by the stripes of judgment. His nature and His character kept Him at the scourging post until the will of the Father had been fully accomplished. Though it meant great suffering for Him in the flesh, with the agony of every stripe, He cried, His heart cried out, Father, Thy will be done. Again, that is the nature and the character I am bringing forward in you. Progressive fasting is acting upon the positional truth given you by the Father. I enforce positional truth, says the Spirit of grace. It is true that I can and often do deliver without suffering. Instantly, many people from all over, from all that you would call addiction, it is a small thing for me to cleanse the blood, the organs, and the emotions of all that man would call addictions. And you should know that I will do this for you if you continue to petition the Father in this manner. But understand that the manifestation for you by that method would be according to His permissive will and not according to His perfect will. For His plans for you, my son, are to send you into the hard places to rescue sheep where suffering in the flesh shall be required. To those, the method of instant deliverance, where no transformation is required, is to choose the path where no transformation is accomplished. On that path, there is no transformation to the nature and the character of Christ. Again, I say, His nature and His character desires the will of the Father to be accomplished, even if it means suffering in the flesh, even if it means obedience unto death. to walk in the Father's perfect will in the days to come for you, my son, that nature and that character must come to full harvest, that you be more desirous of the Father's will than any suffering in the flesh you must endure. That is his perfect will. My son, for your life, his mercy and his compassion will grant you deliverance without suffering if you choose that path. But that path must always keep you below his perfect will for your life. Your heart would continue to hunger and thirst on that path, for your heart cry is to know him. Your heart cry is to walk as him. Your heart cry is, Father, thy will be done through my life. Allow me to bring forth the nature and character of the Son in you, who learned obedience through the things he suffered. He learned obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. I will help you with this. I will help you in this, says the Spirit of grace, progressively by stages, as you embrace the scourging post according to the mind of Christ, which I have brought unto you. An overcomer must love not his life unto death. To embrace the scourging post is to embrace the pain of the scourging post. To embrace the scourging post is to lay down your life that you may receive the nature and character, pull this page, of his life in harvest. Two verses there in ending. He that findeth his life, Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. Amen. Good document. You need to keep it, store it away, let it be part of your blueprint. Listen, as we continue on in this particular lesson, a suffering in the flesh for Christ was that he wasn't suffering in that he wanted to commit sin with a woman somewhere, or he had something inside of him. Now, all those things came, and he would fight any kind of foolishness that Satan would bring to him, whether that was sickness, whether that was temptation of the flesh, but suffering in the flesh was probably a whole lot of also everything that Paul was talking about after being beaten and derided. Jesus wasn't physically beaten until the end, until the last part of his tenure of ministry, but he was in constant confrontation with religion, constantly. And then he had a lot of disciples that were in and out the door. He kept 12 and lost only one, but for him, now the showdown, the last of the last, was in the Garden of Gethsemane in the last 24 hours of his life. That was the biggest part, but the things that he suffered was a continual choice of doing the will of the Father. It was a continual choice of, not my will, but thy will be done. How many times do you think I hope that you have a realistic approach to our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you see him not only God in him. The best I can describe it, this might not be the best word. I might find a better word in the time to come. God would peek out every once in a while, and you saw that God was in there by things that he would say. But God, for the essence of the purpose of him living out his life, was dormant. He lay dormant in there. He didn't do anything for the man to succeed or for the man to win. The man had to get up every day and choose, not my will. I don't feel like going over there. I know it's the Father's will. I don't feel like going on over to that region, or this, that, and the other. But I choose today, not my own will, but the will of the Father. The flesh in him. Not that he was living in the flesh, but his body had all the same temptations that you and I do. There may have been many times, where his anger would have liked to spoke out of anger to those that were trying to deride him. Well, no, that Jesus, he just always had there was no temptation. That was his temptations, same temptations. And he had to push that temptation, suffer in the flesh, and say, you know what? I'm not going to say what I want to say in the flesh. I'm going to say what I hear. And this is what I hear. This is what I hear the Father saying. This is what I hear the Spirit saying. And so that was who he was, and that's who we are in Christ. Going through the motions, I'm going to read some notes here because I do want to say some things. It's still early yet. Going through the motions of speaking the word in confession or the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment some more, which is the word of God, is oftentimes canceled out by the flesh. We read out of James last week, which we didn't go into our previous review, but I'll just mention it, and actually, because it's right here and so shouldn't be so easy for me to find, let me just read this to you. Yep. James 4:7 says this, "Submit yourself therefore unto God, then resist the devil." It doesn't say then, but I'm putting the then in there. "Resist the devil, and he will do what? He'll flee from you." He'll flee from you. Part of that, come off. When you submit yourself unto God, then secondarily, resisting the devil, that was all of last week's lesson, that when you resist the devil, there is a foundation by which you can resist him. Spiritual warfare is 99% your obedience to God. I don't know what the percentages are, but for that drastic illustration, I will say that. It's 99% walking in obedience and 1% you exercising that authority to tell the devil to get lost. That's a major part of it. That's a major part of it. We gave that illustration that people might be tired of, but the card game with the devils and the devils sneering back and on and on and on. But our submitting is the whole catalyst to our authority, a big part of the catalyst to our authority. We've been given authority, but if you're walking in the flesh, it will cancel out or negate what authority you have to change a matter. Well, Pastor, I don't really believe that. Well, let me give you some word on it. No amount of confession, let me say this, no amount of speaking the word against the mountain will compensate for a life of disobedience. Okay? Obedience in the disposition of the heart. Now, this is important. Obedience in the disposition of the heart, even in the midst of imperfections, will enforce the word spoken. In other words, if you have a disposition of obedience, if you're blatantly like, I don't care, and I'm just going through the motions, and I'm just not going to follow him, and yet I'll go through the motions and say the word, that won't get you anywhere. But even with imperfections that are having to die, as long as you keep saying, Lord, I know I need help. I'm yielding to you. I'm obedient. I desire to be obedient even when I'm not. Keep going to the blood. Keep going to the blood. That will yield fruit in your spiritual warfare or in your spiritual becoming a hardened soldier, becoming somebody that is able to stand. We've put out this disclaimer for a year. Here's our disclaimer. Don't try this at home. What do you mean? Don't try this at home. See, if we were not burning both ends of the candle, I'd have you in a mess, and I'd have me in a mess, and we'd just be in a big, we'd be on our way to all of us falling apart. If we're going to stand up here on a Sunday night, and we don't, some of you don't attend that, or not able to attend that service, but a disposition of our church is, we're taking a mockery, and we're taking this region, and we're casting out devils. Well, we can do that. We can certainly do that. But you better be also teaching the far end of this thing too, which is death to the flesh. Because if you got a bunch of that's what's killed Christians for years. Well, I'm not talking about physically, but that's what's taken them out. When you start screaming at the devil, that's okay. You're not screaming, but you know what I'm saying, taking authority over him. I'm running you out of Immokalee. I'm running you out of this. I'm running you out of that. Come out of them. Cast you out. That's fine. But you better also have a strong doctrine on death to the flesh. Because if you don't, He just loves that. He just loves that. He's just waiting for the day he can chew you up and spit you out. Well, no, all you got to do is have faith. Well, then why does the word say in 1 John 3:21, it says, Beloved, if our hearts condemn us, now this is talking about asking God for something. If our hearts condemn us, then we have, or condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And the next verse, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. We get what we ask because we have confidence that we're walking with God. Not perfect, but walking with God. Over there, a lot of the church, I feel sorry for them. I really do. I feel sorry for anybody that goes to a church where a pastor teaches on running the devil out of town and doesn't simultaneously teach people how to put down their flesh. Because what you're asking, what you're commanding, and what your directives are. If you're born again, then your heart condemns you if you've got sin in your life. I mean, blatant sin. And you're not asking in confidence, so you're not going to receive. And then when you don't receive, the devil will just knock you down and take whatever he can. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. I think somebody needs to say amen at this point. On cue. I'll pay you for it later afterwards. Let's talk about one main academic of true spiritual dominion or warfare, and you've heard this before. I can't say it enough. I know it is so important, and this is where we're headed as on the how-tos is confession and directives of faith. It's so vitally important. Now, you can just write this down or just listen, or if you're fast enough, you could turn there, but Proverbs 18:20 says this, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, love what? Love life, shall eat the fruit thereof. That's one of I love that scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's important that we know how powerful this tongue is in receiving what we want to receive from God, making directives. And boy, I'll mention this a little bit later. You ought to have some sit-downs every once in a while with just you and God. That's good. It's just you and God. Isn't that great? It can be just, and say, God, show me. If there is, there might not be. Show me where I'm shooting myself in the foot. If I get shot and I got a big hole in my body, he'll heal me. I hope that somebody other than myself shot me. Boy, it's just embarrassing to shoot yourself. Making a strong, real strong, strong stand over here and then right over here, you just don't even know because you said it all your life. You ought to have a sit down with God every once in a while, get you a pen and a piece of paper and say, is there anything that's just causing me to shoot myself in the foot? What things in my life, what things do I just say on a daily basis that is contrary to my prosperity, spirit, soul, and body? Amen. That's just good teaching. Hallelujah. Well, the word says here that a man's belly, that means everything that's all his prosperity, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. See, I can't... Adam was given authority, stolen. Jesus gave it back, but as far as I can see about the garden, the biggest part of what he was supposed to do is just speak things. Probably that was the main way that everything that, you know, he named all the animals, he named this, he named that. He was supposed to dress the garden. Well, I don't know what dressing meant, but it was after the fall that he said, you're going to work and sweat. So whatever dressing meant before, there wasn't a bit of sweat involved in it. Not a bit. Not one drop. So in this life, hoeing a garden, running a field, or anything causes a drop of sweat to come from you. It wasn't a bit of sweat. So Adam had whatever he was going to have done, whatever was supposed to grow or whatever was supposed to come here, go there, do whatever, probably originated from the understanding that everything that he did was just like his father spoke it into existence. spoke it into existence. How did I get here, Father? Well, I just created the earth, and then I just formed you, breathed in you. Hallelujah. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus, this is our New Testament. Well, that's the Old Testament. There's about 50,000 of them in the Old Testament. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know how many. There's so many of them. I could just spend days talking about the words of your mouth and your confession in the Old Testament. David just, you read through the Psalms. And Jesus answering saith unto them, this is in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. For truly I say, or verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Hallelujah.